Thank you, Jesus. I'm so proud of you for how you worship. You guys are true worshipers. Praise the Lord. It's time to go underwater. Time to go deeper. Paul talked about the desire of the church to stop drinking milk and get into the meat. And today we're going to continue into the meat of what it means to be a true worshiper. Jesus said in John 4, 23 and 24, I'm going to keep quoting this because it's so important, yet a time is coming. In other words, there's a time coming. That time, again, is now and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a Spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in the Spirit and truth. I've been teaching on this for a couple of months now. Each message builds on the next one, and I pray that you've listened to them. If you've missed one, please go back and listen. I started with understanding worship in the Spirit, what it means. It means that we leave this place and our spirit goes into heaven, into the heavenly realms. And the more we do that, the more we see Him come here to earth with us. He's desiring for us to meet Him there and then together for us to meet and encounter the world with Him here. And now I'm focused on what does it mean to worship in truth. Truth number one, worship is our witness. We must be witnesses of His glory. We in this place today, we're witnesses of His glory. The world is waiting to see the glory of God. And we are carriers of it, and we must be witnesses of it. Truth number two, worship is how we fight our battles. It is how we deal in spiritual warfare. Truth number three is where we're landing now. Worship is our testimony. Now, last week, I began by getting us to understand that the temple that Jesus built must be completed. See, there is an ark of the covenant that is to be built inside of you. Hebrews tells us that the old temple, the temple in the Old Testament, was a foreshadowing of things to come. And one of the missing pieces in the temple that Jesus built in the believer is the building of the ark of the testimony. Amen. It is your testimony that becomes an ark, an unmovable object in your life as you move forward to face this present darkness. And today I'm going to build on that and unpack the principle of how that ark gets filled with testimony. Please open your Bibles back to Psalm 102. We're going to pick up in verse 11 through verse 19. We looked at the first several verses, which was a prayer of lament. It was a prayer of a child of God crying out to God in prayer, desperate for an answer. Some of you are desperate for an answer. You've been praying so long. And then here, this biblical principle comes to life. Psalm 102, verse 11 to verse 19. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to feed on your word. We receive the revelation you'll give us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along as I read. My days are marked by the lengthening shadows of death. I'm withering away and there's nothing left of me. But then I remember, say that with me, but then I remember that you, O Lord, still sit enthroned as king over all. The fame of your name will be revealed to every generation. I know you, say I know you, are about to rise and show your tender love to Zion. Now is the time, Lord, for your compassion and mercy to be poured out. The appointed time has come for your prophetic promises to be fulfilled. For your servants weep in sympathy over Zion's ruins and feel love for her every stone. But when you arise to intervene, all the nations and kings will be stunned. and will fear your awesome name, trembling before your glory. Yes, you will reveal yourself to Zion and will appear in the brightness of glory to restore her to her children. He responds to the prayer of the poor and broken and will not despise the cry of the homeless. Write all this down. Say that with me. Write all this down for the coming generation so recreated people will read it and praise the Lord. Tell them, say that. Tell them how Yah looked towards from his high and holy place, glazing from his glory to survey the earth. Amen. Those in worship that can tell others before their answers the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks. We praise God for a lot of things. We praise Him for what He's done in our life. We praise Him for who He is. We praise Him for the power and His anointing and His glory. But do you praise Him for the answers He has yet given you? It's time to build the ark of the testimony inside of you. In the Old Testament, the ark of the testimony, that's what that word covenant also translates, could not be touched by anyone, not even a child of God. If it got touched, they'd die instantly. That's why they had to have poles. Nobody could touch it, not even the high priest. No one could touch it. The high priest could come in to deliver an offering, but nobody could touch it. There's a place in you nobody can touch, ever. It's deep inside. It's when the promises of God become your testimony. Loved ones, today, as I saw in the Spirit, God dancing with every answer to your deepest prayer, I saw that in the Spirit. It hit me so deeply. And He said, this is your illustration for today's message. Jesus said to Thomas, doubting Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed be those who don't see yet believe. God is looking for those that don't see an answer yet praise Him for an answer yet to come. Those are the ones He will build an ark of the testimony in their heart. And once that ark is built, what I'm going to teach you next week will keep you under water for a long time. But this must be built. Once again, loved ones, we seek to lift our worship to the high watermark of the Bible, not lowering it to our own comfort and experience and preferences. That's what sets this place apart. Because this psalm tells us that true worshipers will establish a legacy in worship. God wants your legacy to be to your children and children's children the way you worshiped. Whoa. My grandfather, what I remember most about him is how he worshiped God. It didn't matter. Psalm 102:18 tells us this. Write all this down for coming generations so recreated people will read it and praise the Lord. You want to have a legacy that lasts forever? It begins when worship becomes your testimony, when you make worship your testimony. This means God has His pen out. He's given it to His angels to give to you. Your ministering spirit that's with you right now has the pen of God. It's the finger of God. It's there, and you're praying, Lord, I want an answer. And the angel's sitting there with a pen waiting for you to take it. to write a living testimony of how your biggest prayer request in your darkest moment became your greatest act of worship. The world sees the church praise him for who he is. The world sees the church praise him for his name. But what they don't see enough is us praising him for his promises. Those are the type of worshipers the Father seeks. The earth groans waiting for the church to declare the promises of God over the earth. It's a level of faith we've not seen in a generation or two. Who can I send, says the Lord? Who will go for me? Loved ones, what are you waiting for God to do in your life? What is the answer to a prayer you're waiting for? You've cried over. You've anguished over. You've believed over. The Lord is saying, will the depth of your deepest prayers match your highest praise for me? Verse 11 ends this transition of this lament, of this kingdom principle. My days are marked by the lengthening shadows of death. I'm withering away and there's nothing left of me. I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I've been up and down in my prayers and I'm weary. But then, verse 12, I remember you, that you, O Lord, still sit enthroned as king over all. The frame of your name will be revealed to every generation. Listen, God is calling us to make our testimony our worship. Listen, our testimony of God's Spirit tells the world what God has done. It tells the world we prayed for a healing and God healed, and we need to have testimonies of his healing. But listen, our testimony of God's truth needs to tell the world what God can do, what he's about to do. There needs to be a testimony of it. We get so busy with our testimony of what he has done, we forget that God wants a testimony of what he will do. All creation is waiting. The world is waiting. Mostly God is waiting to tell the world of how worship brought heaven to earth. And here's the battle, loved ones. The vicious religious spirit hits worship more than ever. And here's the battle. The religious spirit wants to keep God's will a mystery. It manifests in the prayer so often in the church, God, if it's your will, please heal this person. That's not biblical. Jesus said it was there, and the guy came up to him and said, if you're willing, he says, if I'm willing, all things are possible for those who believe. See, the religious spirit knows if God's will is a mystery, it will cause more people to blame God when things go bad. How's that demonic spirit doing? I've even had testimonies of great believers. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed and it went back and they took their Bible and they threw it in the trash, blaming God. That's what the religious spirit is after in this earth, to let believers and non-believers blame God when it doesn't go well because they thought, well, it must have been God's will for that awful, destructive thing to happen to that person. Must have been God's will. Are you kidding me? But that's what happens. And then it laughs as they get so angry with God, they try to keep people away from their destiny of his love as long as possible, hoping they get them to their death without ever encountering the love of God. The father of lies wants to be worshiped and served. And when people blame God, he is. But the good news is we, the church, have the answer. We must start pressing in beyond that religious spirit that is constantly attacking us and make worship our testimony, loved ones. I want to give you the key act of faith that the Bible talks about on how this happens. It's called prophetic praise. To make worship our testimony, we must worship declaring the prophetic promises of God. It is the missing piece. Every promise of God is prophetic. Did you know that? And it needs to be activated. And the Bible tells us how we activate a promise is to worship Him, declaring those promises over the atmosphere around you, over every situation, over everything in your life, over this earth, over this country, over this county, over this state. Psalm 102, verse 13 tells us, look at it again. I know you are about to arise and show your tender love to Zion. Now is the time, Lord, for your compassion and mercy to be poured out. The appointed time has come for you, prophetic promises to be fulfilled. Prophetic praise is praising God for what he's about to do based on his word. It means we turn his promises into a prophetic declaration as we worship. Prophetic praise is the most important type of praise you can make. Are you praising him as much as you're praying? For some reason, we've substituted praise with prayer. It was never the intent. We must declare the promises of God in praise over our condition. Listen, until the word that became flesh becomes the promise that becomes flesh. The disciples came on a spiritual battle. It was a battle of, in the darkness, and they couldn't break it. They couldn't cast out this one demon. And Jesus is all frustrated with them. And he speaks prophetically. And he says this in Matthew 17, 21, when they said, we couldn't cast this one out. They've been casting out demons and all this stuff. They've been seeing people get healed all over the place. But this one they couldn't deal with. And Jesus is all frustrated. And he says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now listen, that word prayer, do you know what it means? It's praying in another realm. This one does not come out unless you pray in another realm. Now listen, this word is the same word found in Revelation 5:8. It describes the kind of prayer in the realm of heaven. And Jesus' frustration was, don't you see before you is the Lamb of God, and everything shifts with me. Now listen, this is the core of prophetic praise. Revelation 5:8. This is what you're pressing into when you praise him for the promises yet to come over the conditions of your life that are so deep, so difficult, been so long, and you still haven't have an answer. Revelation 5:8 tells us, now when he had taken the scroll. Now listen, this kind of prayer is a prayer that declares that Jesus has taken the scroll that rescues all mankind. This was right after the Lamb of God that was slain goes into heaven and takes the scroll for the end times and says, I'm going to make it all right. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Listen, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. This kind of prayer is a prayer of a harp and a golden bowl. It's the praise of the promises of God with the prayers you've already prayed. This kind of prayer is the prayer that you join the four living creatures and the 24 elders in prayer. Because this one only comes out with prayer and fasting. There are things in the spiritual realm you may not know of. Generational things that are stopping that blessing, that are stopping that answer. Things beyond our realm. Things beyond our understanding. But God is saying, who will be my testimony of my promises? We tend to be a testimony after the promise is delivered, but will we be before? Just as much. Prophetic praise is a praise that you join the four living creatures and the 24 elders by matching the deepest prayers with the highest praise. The greatest example is Elijah on Mount Carmel. One of the great examples of exactly how to do this, loved ones. And I'm going to land this plane teaching this. Make note of it. Prophetic praise has three key components to it. The first, you've got to hear it before you see it. Because faith comes from hearing. You got to hear it before you see it. You're praying for it, but are you hearing the answer? You got to hear it by singing it and praising it before you see it. Elijah in 1 Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. Are you declaring there's a sound of abundance of your healing? Are you declaring there's a sound of an abundance to the answer to your prayer? Are you praising him? There's a sound of the abundance of that situation breaking. Because God's promises are yes and amen. He's dancing with your answer, waiting for you to call it in, waiting for you to hand off that dance partner of the word becoming flesh to you to dance with in the spirit until it comes down to earth. I hear an abundance of rain. Say that with me. Let's say it again. I hear an abundance of rain. This is the difference between hoping for God's will and bringing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. So you have the authority and the mandate to bring God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Second thing, declaring prophetic promises means that we walk by faith instead of weariness. So often I run into believers that have been praying so long, they're weary. I'm so weary. I've prayed so long, and I'm just so weary. I'm so tired. I'm so weary. I haven't given up on God, but I'm just so weary. Ring a bell? I'm so weary. You haven't been praising him enough. You've carried the yoke of the answer on yourself as if it depends on you. See, that's what prophetic praise does. It shifts it from depending on you to depending on him. Amen. Verse 42 of 2 Kings. So Ahab went out to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed to the ground. He put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, come up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again, go again, go again. We pray again, we pray again, we pray again. When God knows what you need before you ask. We need to pray once and praise again, praise again, praise again, praise again, praise again, thanking Him for the answer He's about to deliver because we believe in Him more than the condition we're in. Go again. Seven times he went. You must keep praising Him until what you hear is what you see. See, here's the thing. Worship will keep you from weariness, or weariness will keep you from worship. I'm so weary. I'm so weary. I can't even praise Him. That's a lie. That's the wrong spirit. Paul said, I praise my God for my infirmities and my weaknesses. For when I am weak, I am strong. Point number three. And here is the most important thing that breaks my heart so often. You got to praise God for the cloud in the distance. How many people that have prayed for so long and they start to get a little breakthrough? And then they stop praying, or they stop praising. Oh, yeah, yeah, actually, it's getting a little better. Well, wait, 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 wait. You've prayed for a really long time. It's getting a little better, and now you've taken your pedal off the gas. Do you know how many answers to prayers are the cloud in the distance? Verse 44, then it came to pass, the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand raising out of the sea. And he said, go up, prepare your chariot, and go before the rain begins. He says, I see a small cloud. He's saying, keep praising God. This is the time to double down on prophetic praise. To praise like never before. There are so many clouds in the distance of answers. And we need to praise Him for the miracle of the cloud in the distance. This is the shift from the miracle of the praising Him and praying for the full healing. Look, you need to shift your prayers from now praying for the full healing to praising Him for the healing that He's delivering to you. The cloud in the distance is the beginning of your healing. What happens so often, we see the cloud in the distance, and it's the beginning of the healing. You're starting to feel better. You're starting to see a shift, but you're still praying for Him as if He's not delivering you, as if the answer isn't coming, as if you don't see that cloud in the distance. Because some things only come out with prayer and fasting. Some things require such a spiritual battle. And maybe it is you that is the one that is breaking a generation of curses, a generation of things. You have no idea, like Job had no idea, what God was up to. Where are the true worshipers that build an ark of a testimony in the temple inside them? This is that testimony. God wants to put His answers right on top of the place where the devil tormented you. when you're ready. When you're ready. He's ready. Who will praise him like that? Who will praise him prophetically, declaring the promises of God before one promise comes true? When your worship becomes your testimony, look. Verse 45, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there became a heavy rain. And it drove the enemy away. Do you know that while Elijah was doing this, his enemy Ahab was poking at him, was there? He ran away to Jezebel. Went to Jezreel to go see Jezebel. Because this one only comes out with prayer and fasting. It requires a prophetic praise, loved ones, for you and me. So now the only question is, what are you waiting for? What do you want God to do in your life? Will you let your praise for what he's about to do match your prayer for what you're asking him to do? Let's stand. I want us to take these minutes to practice prophetic praise in this house. See, because right now, the Lord is dancing with your answer. It's every promise of God. See, he picks the promise that you've praised him with. It's in heaven, and he's dancing with it, waiting for you to praise him for that prophetic word, for that promise, to foretell it over your life until the appointed time. Until the appointed time. That's what the Bible says. What promise has he made to you? What promise? Praise him, declaring that promise over your life right now as we sing. Let's worship.
Slow down, take time. Breathe in, he said. He'd reveal what's to come. The thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine, and he'll reveal all to come. So take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting.